Cool.
Oh man, do you know what? I needed that this morning. I needed that.
Yeah, Monday morning, so.
Hello and welcome to Clicked Off. Every week we'll be hearing from the people making it big in e-commerce. I'm your host, Jason Chappell. I'm joined this week by Gary Gumbleton, Creative Director at Capital Content. Gary, thanks so much for joining me, mate.
Ah, thanks for having me on board. Pumped to be here.
Awesome. Well, look, should we jump straight in and let's talk about you and let's talk about Capital Content. Give me a quick rundown of Capital Content and what you guys do.
We are a digital content agency, right? We're objective-based. Our tagline is like social first storytellers. And we create video, photo, social, design, live stream, podcasting, pretty much anything digital, right? If you want to achieve increased product sales or raise brand awareness, we will come up with a strategy to be able to achieve that objective using content. And that's like, could be a 29-second video, it could be a half-hour documentary.
Nice. And how long have you been doing this?
Catco has been around for about 6.5 years. I've been in agency land probably 9 years. And then before that, I was in corporate sales for like 15 years. Crazy.
Do you know what? I haven't spoken to a single guest who has really specifically and like intentionally designed the job or career that they are in. So many people have come from like corporate backgrounds and just done a load of different things and then almost found themselves doing what they're doing, or they've like built on a passion and transferred it into their role.
Yeah, I haven't, right? So when I was 23, 24, but at the time I was like, I think I was a removal man. And what I had was that I was just selling mobile phones for Vodafone. I was right at the very bottom of the ladder, right? And I decided that I wanted to become a leader in a creative organization. And I had, I was working for Vodafone. And then over that time, over the 10, 15 odd years, I moved to New Zealand. I climbed the ladder, managed to kind of get through a few redundancy processes. And, you know, although I was like corporate sales, I was a creative by heart, you know, and I had a stolen copy of Photoshop, which I think is like, you know, every agency owner's origin story, right?
Yeah, that's one of those like, tell me you work in marketing without working, like telling me you work in marketing things, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I got that off of LimeWire, right, about 20 years ago. And so then I managed to sidestep from sales into sales and marketing. And then I went into exclusively marketing by running an agency in New Zealand, and they kind of brought the template back from NZ to here, where we were just video when we first started. So it was just video content. Then COVID happened, and all of our video content just got completely cancelled, right? So it was all face-to-face, and no one wanted a big hairy man in their office. So what we did was we upskilled ourselves. At the time, there was only a couple of us, into social media management, live streaming, podcasting, graphic design, that kind of stuff. And then coming out of COVID, we were actually stronger than when we first started, right? So we were a multi-discipline digital content agency, whereas before we were just a video production company. The majority of our work is still video content, but we do have a whole bunch of other stuff that is we are the digital disciplines, you know?
Now, the world must be kind of coming towards you in that respect, right? Everybody wants to consume video all the time, but fuck me, it's a crowded marketplace.
Yeah, man.
How do you even start to deal with that?
Do you mean from a client perspective? How do they deal with like the cut through?
Let's start with you. Like, how do you... Nah, actually, maybe let's start with the client, because this will probably lead into how you operate, right? So from like a client perspective, how do they even start to operate in a world where they're producing video?
Yeah. So the problems they have, or the challenges they have, is they need to create so much content. I don't think there's any business out there that is creating enough content, right? Because there's multiple platforms. You need to have exclusive content across all platforms. You can't just post your Instagram reel, video on Instagram Reels, and then also post it on TikTok, because it just doesn't work. You've got to have a reason to follow people on all of these platforms, right? But the way that we kind of teach clients to be able to keep up with the demand is to what we call the TV network strategy, right? You got to look at yourselves as a TV network, and then underneath that, you have channels. So Red Bull is a great example, right? But let's say, I'll explain the Red Bull thing in a minute. The business look at themselves like businessname.tv, right? Defiant.tv, right? And underneath that, you've got business objectives. Raise brand awareness, sell more products, improve community involvement, right? There's three basic business objectives. Like the BBC, they have BBC One, BBC Two, BBC News. Each one of those channels, and I'm not talking like Facebook, Instagram, each one of those BBC One, BBC Two, so on and so forth. Each one of those channels has different programming. They have different programs. You would see a program on BBC One that you wouldn't necessarily see on BBC Two, right? And therefore, then they have different demographics. As a business, you need to look at those channels as your business objectives. So instead of BBC One, it is raise brand awareness, but sell more products, community involvement. And then you start creating content for those objectives in seasons and then episodes. So a great example, what we do, right? The one of Capital Content's objectives is to show people how easy it is to work with us, right? That's one channel of content like BBC, right? In that channel, we've got a season called FAQs. And then within those FAQs, we've got an episode saying that you can pay via credit card rather than via, you know, backs payment or whatever it is. So we've created that one FAQ video, which is part of a season of videos, 10 FAQs, right? And then that season is then part of the channel or objective on how easy it is to work with us. So what people need to do is, rather than just go out and make videos, every video you make has a purpose. It always rolls up into a business objective. And seasoning these videos allows you to make loads more, right? Rather than just make one little video on how to make how to pay an invoice, you make 10 videos on the top FAQs, batch create it all in the same day, and you've got one video a week for the next 10 weeks. It's huge, right? So what you need to do is you list out as a business to be able to have enough ideas or have enough content to be consumed, is you think about all of your business objectives and then create content within those objectives that's exclusive to that. And then you can choose about where you put it in the platform and stuff, you know? So I think the challenges that businesses have now is not creating enough content to be consumed, but it's definitely possible because you've got more than one objective. It's not just about generating revenue, you know?
Yeah. Now, that sounds absolutely terrifying, right? For all of the brands out there, like especially the smaller ones, those smaller brands out there, they have like limited headcount, limited budgets, but they are massively at risk of being completely overshadowed by big brands. But this isn't an exclusive small brand problem, because I think you've actually completely nailed the biggest issue that so many brands face in terms of, and I talk about this in what I do a lot, the strategy side of things. Like you can go out and you can produce content or you can produce whatever it is, but if there's no strategy behind it, that's going to be the key to unlocking what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. A lot of people just go out and make a video, but you need to make a video with purpose. And having that TV network structure allows you to go episode, season, channel, and everything has a purpose then.
I love that. That is so cool. Now, I don't want to gloss over your work history, because you've sent me a list of some of the things that you've done. I mean, let's talk about New Zealand for a start. What took you there, and what on earth brought you back? Because the UK, I mean, is a fascinating place, but New Zealand sounds pretty appealing.
When I had this BHAG, right? Vodafone, it's a very American term, but the big, hairy, audacious goal, right? So I set myself, like I mentioned, this big hairy ambitious goal of being a leader in a corporate organization, in a creative organization. And at the time, I was right at the bottom of the ladder. So what I realized was that I needed to get international business experience to be able to get my way through to this, you know, leader in an organization. And that then limited it to three different countries, Australia, New Zealand, and America. America is like Fort Knox, you never get in. Australia is full of Australians. And that all that left was NZ, right? So 3 months later, all of a sudden, I found myself moving to New Zealand with like 46 kgs worth of clothes as a small business account manager. And then during that time, I went from like corporate, strategic, I was like a big, you know, I was managing like, I don't know, it was a Universal Music and Deutsche Bank and stuff like that. I really boring stuff. But like I mentioned, I was a stoner behind the scenes and I was a bit of a creative. So every step that I took was a logical step towards this leader of an organization, a creative organization. And then I went to work for like a ticketing company, an event ticketing company. And that was a side step because I wasn't just selling tickets, I was helping market tickets. Because it's difficult to get into marketing without marketing experience. And I had zero, right? I left school when I was 16 and, you know, I didn't go to college. So all I had was like sales experience. NZ was great, man. Like we were always like 10 minutes away from a banging beach. But after 10 years, I was a bit bored from it. You know, I was like, you know, I got married and we decided to come back. And I think the main thing, the reason I came back was the scale of economy. Because, you know, I'll give you a huge example. They only sell one length of trouser over there, right? Long. And then because the economy or the population amount doesn't drive short, medium, and long trousers. So what you do is you always buy long trousers and then you go to the tailors to take it up. So the process of going to a tailor to get your trousers taken up is really common. There's like a million tailors like in a shopping center. Whereas for you and I, to go to a tailor, you don't even do that when you get married once, right? We never go to a tailor to get your trousers taken up. Whereas in NZ, it's always a thing. So the scale of economy, there's no ASOS, there's no eBay, there's no Amazon. Do you know what I mean? So coming back here, now with global warming, we get 32 degrees now anyway, it doesn't really matter. And I don't really like beaches. I don't like sand between my toes. I don't like getting my hair wet. I sound like a grumpy old man, but it was a lovely time. Don't get me wrong. I met my wife and, you know, did some amazing things. But coming back here, the scale of the economy is way bigger.
And you touched on capital content. Let's talk about that and what you guys do. Because a big part of what you do is storytelling, right? So we've talked about that strategic piece and people needing to have a designed area for every single piece of content that they have. How do they do it on a operational level?
That's a good question. So we've got two operating systems, right? We've got the rational and we've got the emotional. And what you need to do is appeal to both the rational and the emotional whenever you're creating a video, right? And the emotional side of it is what really gets purchases, right? So when you first watch a video, for example, you've got this amygdala hijack that says, well, do I carry on watching it or do I click next? And it's about having that emotional connection with somebody rather than it costs $2.99, for example, right? So what people need to do, and it happens very rarely, the successful people are doing it right, is the storytelling piece, right? For example, I always give this analogy. If I was to post a picture of a Coca-Cola bottle, no one's really going to engage with it. But if I show you a video of a little boy saving up his paper round money to buy a cold bottle of Coke on a hot summer's day, you're going to engage with that because it's a story, it's an emotive story, you're connecting with your audience. And I think a lot of people forget that regardless of whether you are B2B or B2C, you're effectively always human to human.
Yes, 100%. This is something that I talk about a lot. You know, I've been to job interviews in the past and things like that, and people say, oh, you know, your experience seems to be, you know, very B2C focused, or, you know, very direct to consumer focused. You don't get business to business. And I'm like, they're just people, right? Yeah, okay, they're making a decision based upon different criteria, but I'm still engaging with that person. I just have to figure out what it is the trigger is for them.
Yeah, absolutely. What one of the biggest things a lot of people say to me is, oh, our audience is not on Instagram when they're a B2B customer, B2B client, right? I'm like, everybody is on every platform. They're just having a different conversation, right? You're having a B2B conversation on LinkedIn, but you're having a human-to-human conversation on Instagram. So that's where you put your raw behind-the-scenes stuff, whereas then you put your company values and shit on LinkedIn, right? So I think storytelling is absolutely key, man, because it connects with the emotive. And then once you've got that connection with the emotive side of your brain's OS, you can then move to like the features, advantages, benefits stuff, you know? Because that's what people want. Like the millennials, what they want is that, you know, emotive connection. They want to be able to invest their time and money with a moral, ethical business. And you're not going to be able to get the fact that you are moral and ethical across the line by telling people features, advantages, and benefits. So connect with that millennial, which is the big buying group at the moment, right? Because they're coming up through the ranks, they've got disposable income, they're not spending on a house. So, you know, tell stories, connect emotively, then drop the FA beat.
Nice. And do you think this is potentially one of the biggest problems that's facing brands right now, that they're just shit at storytelling?
Yes. And I think, you know, again, what businesses are doing not seldomly is talking about their people as well. And, you know, you could be a brand, you could be, you know, FMCG, but you could also be selling a service as well, right? And a lot of, you know, let's say, for example, you are an accountant. There are a million and one accountants, right? Everybody does the same. Everybody has a calculator. We can all be an accountant, right? The only thing that's different between you and the accountant next door are your people. And that's everybody's USP. You need to create content using people, because this is a massive cliche, people buy from people, right? And if you've got a low headcount, even if you've got like, I don't know, four people in the office, we do this thing called 20 questions where we say, right, who's got the messiest desk? Who's most likely to get into a fight when they're out drinking? Who's got the shittiest car, right? But you ask those 20 questions across four people, that's 80 videos from four staff members to show, you know, and you could post like one every day across stories, right? And it's like, that shows the people behind the logo. You know, people want the story of the business, and the story includes the people. So I think, businesses are not storytelling. They're not using people. They're not using emotion. Well, I say they're not, sorry, the unsuccessful businesses, people that are doing a success. A really good example, I'm tracking over to one side here, but the Cadbury's adverts, there's one where it's in a petrol station and this guy comes up, he buys his petrol, he buys a chocolate bar. It's like late at night and he's like chipping on the counter, right? And he pays for it and then walks off and she like presses on the button, oh, you forgot your chocolate bar? And he just smiles and walks off. And then she goes, thanks, Dad. And it's like, just that simple story, that simple thanks, Dad, tells you that there's Mark Farren daughter. He's done it on purpose to check in on her, make sure she's okay. I'll give her a gift to keep her happy because she's doing nights at a petrol station. And they're selling chocolate bars. They're not saying it's 127 calories per bite. They're saying it brings family together. Facts, huge.
I love it. And look, I think this is really poignant because, look, I deal with and talk to a lot of brands that are selling product, right? So they're not a service-based business where their people are at the fore. They're like, how can I demonstrate my product? You know, you might have a founder who is quite happy being in front of the camera, but you might not have other people who are quite so willing that actually make up part of that business, and does their story particularly matter to the product? you know, is this how these brands can start using people in their storytelling?
100%. So I personally have 5 times larger organic reach than my business and my staff combined through a personal brand, right? That's massive. And I saw an image the other day saying every business has 2 brands. And there was the Apple logo and Steve Jobs. I mean, that just absolutely sums it up hugely, right? It's always a cliche to talk about Apple when you're talking about marketing and brand. But yes, I spoke about Red Bull earlier. Red Bull are not an energy drink company. They are a marketing agency that happen to sell energy drinks off the back of their marketing. You know, they sponsor every, you know, type of sports team under the sun. They just happen to sell, you know, drinks off the back of it. And that's what every business should be like.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think businesses right now have to realize that you are a marketing agency first and foremost, and then you are a product business, because the whole goal is to drive sales for the product. How do you do that? You need a vehicle. Really interestingly, though, whilst we're on the Red Bull thing, I saw a program about them a little while ago, and they were talking about how they own things rather than just going out, and you'll see like Pepsi or Coca-Cola like sponsoring events. They'll go out and own it. So it's like the Red Bull Air Race, Red Bull, you know, whatever it is, so that no sponsors have opportunity to kind of usurp them. Yes, they'll take their sponsorship money and have, you know, other sponsors on the hoardings around what they're doing, but ultimately it's called Red Bull, insert name of event,
yeah,
whatever.
Absolutely. You look at RB Leipzig as well, right? They wanted them to be called Red Bull Leipzig, the football team. Obviously, Bundesliga, didn't allow them to put brand names in team names. So they called it RB Leipzig and told them, oh, yeah, RB doesn't sound to Red Bull, it stands for something else. Lies. It definitely stands for Red Bull.
All right. Do you know what? I think it's absolutely genius. It's absolutely genius. But how do people even step off, Gary, at this moment in time? How do people do it? Because we've all got technology around us to be able to do this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. It is about stepping off. There's a couple of things I always say to people, right? That people are scared to create video content, especially about themselves. And I think what people need to get past is the perception of you is different than other people's perception of you. Sorry, the perception of yourself is different to other people's perception of you. So some people go, oh, I hate the sound of my own voice, or I look silly on camera. Well, that's your perception of you, not others' perception of you. So try and get past that. And also JFDI, right? I learned this phrase early on in my career, but just fucking do it, man. You're not going to run out of tape, right? You don't have to post it. So if you do record it, it looks shit, start again the next day, right? But if you do record and it looks good, create another 10.
Well, you talk about this quite a lot. I've seen you talk about this. Like, you talk about good hair days and bad hair days, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly it. Because if you make a shit video now, the rest of your videos are going to be shit, right? But if you make a good video now, you're in the zone, man. You've got it. You're pumped. Your positive mental attitude, create another 10. And if you can, create 10 videos in the space of an hour, you can just rant for 10 minutes and chop that up into 1 minute videos. That is one video every Monday for the next 3 months. Huge. That's all you need to do. And you don't need to be making a video every day. I obviously am lucky enough to have like a team around me, all of the content production tips and tools up the wazoo, right? But it's all it is about consistency. I think you need to, if you are going to be posting once a week, carry on posting once a week. Don't always, if you can post once a day, carry on posting once a day, but don't drop down to once a week a couple of weeks later because it's too much. So it's not about quantity, it's about consistency. Quality doesn't really even matter that much, you know? But I think a really good tip, and this is something that you probably noticed me do as well, and you probably do with yourselves, is what we call the content cascade. So the podcast that you've got here, right, Normally, that would just be one Spotify audio. You know, that's what most people would think about, right? But if you take one step back and look at the strategy of a podcast, I use it, or I have used it in the past, where I've used it as a sales technique. So if I was to ring up Coca-Cola right now and say, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? Hey, I want to make your video content. They're going to go, no, laugh me off the phone. Well, they probably won't even pick up. But if I rung them up and said, hey, do you want to be on my podcast? They'll bite my arm off because everybody wants to be on a podcast, right? So what you do is you write down your top 10 businesses that you want to get in front of and say, hey, I'm making a podcast about whatever. And at that point, you're having a really good conversation with your prospects and you're seen as a thought leader and facilitating all that, right? So that's the strategy side of the podcast. But then what we call the content cascade is you've got this 30-minute video recording. That is a YouTube video, right? Then you export the audio and that is a Spotify. Then you can transcribe the audio and that turns into a blog on your website for the bots to read, right? Then you can cut up 30, what we call skipples, so little 30-second sound bites to be able to promote that podcast, just that episode. And then you can use the words that you transcribed from those little cuts, social cut downs, as tweets. So in reality, you've had one 30-minute conversation with somebody using Riverside or whatever it might be, and then that creates like 40 pieces of content. That is more than that content, plus one video a day for the next 30 days, you know? So you just got to record one episode a month, and that's a good start because that also helps the business post content, but the guest will get a whole bunch of videos that they can post on theirs, great for brand awareness, and then the host, if they're focusing on their personal brand, they get the post content on their profiles as well.
I love it. Now, we don't need much specialist kit for this, right? Like, we've all got exactly what we need probably in our pocket, yeah?
Absolutely. And do you know what? I said before you press record, I'm going to drop a bomb on you. This is the bomb, right? So, yes, anybody can do a Verizon call, you know? If you get two audio recordings, a lot of people nowadays can go to that Adobe Podcast Enhancer. That's really good. That really brings out the banging audio. But I still got to edit it. And it takes ages if you really want to get it right. Autopod, it will absolutely blow your mind. I've got a three-camera setup. You know, the podcast of the listeners won't know, but the podcast that you were on with me, Blueprint Podcast.
I'm going to post a link to that in the comments.
So it's three 4K cameras recording for half an hour, sync up all the audio, do a foundation edit. So two audios. Install this plugin, which is about £27 a month. It will fully edit the podcast for you in under 20 seconds.
Nice.
And what it does is like when I talk, what you would do manually is cut to me when I talk, right? With the autopod, it will assess it all first, and then half a second before I talk, it will cut to me and then edit it. And it will cycle through the three. So if you talk, it will cut to you. If I talk, cut to me. And if we're both talking, it'll cut to the wide angle or wherever we assign it to. For £27 a month, it saves at least 4 to 6 hours per podcast episode. So for example, I recorded three 30-minute podcasts, all edited, all within like to the same day. Didn't have to do anything. Honestly, it will absolutely blow your mind. Autopod. I think it's autopod.fm, I think it's called. But I'm not 100% sure on that link. Honestly, it's a game changer. You could go and you just watch it and it cuts it all in front of it for Premiere.
That is mental. That is absolutely mental.
It'll change your life.
For those people who don't have 3-4K cameras, I mean, you had a beautiful studio setup. You've got those lights. They're always a mood. Like, I see your stuff on social. And I'm always looking at that lighting like, okay, I need to replicate this setup. For everybody else, they can use their phone, right? Just set up their phone on like a tripod and then get a mic. Would you recommend a mic over just using like the phone audio, those sorts of things?
Yeah, man. So what we tend to do is, you know, if some people want to put an interview in amongst some of the pro stuff that we create, but they're quite remote. Like, we had one guy that was on like an oil rig out in the middle of the sea or whatever. We tend to give them kind of like some production tips, just some bullet points to be able to bump up the level of production without spending any money and without having to have a massive cinematic camera sitting in front of them, right? So sit in front of a window, natural light, super important. Make sure the camera is eye level, like this. You know, mine's slightly higher, yours is perfect. Think about what's behind you, you know. Make sure you're in a quiet room. And absolutely, definitely use your phone. Microphone is super important. The difference between good video and shit video is audio. So microphones are super important. And like I said, you can do it over Zoom. Just record the session up to 40 minutes on the Zoom call without paying for anything. And if you did it all live, like we are doing now, if you do it, not necessarily live to people, but live all in one go with that stop starting, you can just put music at the front, music at the end, in and out points, and then export the video. There's very little time. As even if you had, you know, no editing skills, just to have both speakers on screen as well. I think it's very easy to do once you get your fingers dirty. You know, you shouldn't be scared about, and we're just talking about podcasting really here at the moment, but, you know, if you're making video content with your phone, absolutely, watch a bunch of video content. You know, don't, you know, the other tip that I say, I'm jumbling around again, the other tip that I say is create for the platform. So if you are creating the TikTok, make sure you make the phone vertical. If you create for YouTube, make sure the phone's horizontal. Don't put horizontal video on a vertical video platform or I will disconnect with you straight away.
I think that's entirely relevant, and so much of what we consume is through our phones. So everybody's go-to probably should be portrait, right? It should have vertical video. However,
yeah,
let's not neglect us dinosaurs who are still watching stuff on our laptops, who still work at a desk in an office, because we're not digital nomads. You know, let's make sure that there's content there for them.
Absolutely. The biggest tip there is to shoot it wide. Shoot it as wide as you can without losing any resolution. And then that allows you to crop in slightly for horizontal and crop in even more for vertical without having to shoot it twice.
Love it. I love it. There have been so many nuggets in here, Gary. I think.
I know, right? Write it down.
Oh, I'm just going for the transcription off the back of this. Yeah, that's right. They're my notes. So look, what's going on for you, like personally, professionally, what's next up?
I'm currently going through potty training with my little boy.
I'm so glad you clarified that.
Yeah, not me. Yeah, I've been potty training for a while. The little boys have been running around the house with a potty for the last couple of weeks. The second child is about 4 months old. She's really good. She's sleeping through, which is lovely. From a business perspective, just more of the same, right? It was podcasts have really taken up. Live streams have really taken up. I think the sun's starting to go in now. So people are leaving the office less. So I think social media management is a good one because there's a lot of graphic design going on. And we really enjoy, we've got kind of big, like massive corporate clients. And they are just start to ramp up a few extra ideas, which is exciting. But it really, for us, it's what I enjoy is the win. You know, a lot of people say to me, well, what do you like doing? Do you like video or do you like editing? I'm like, when I'm videoing, I like editing. And when I'm editing, I like videoing. But actually, really, the best bit, and this is probably the history in corporate sales, is that once someone said, yes, Gary, I want to use you, that's the win for me. You know, that's what I really enjoy. And it's because it was just me. It was just me sitting behind the table 7 years ago, right? 6.5 years ago. And for someone to stand around and go, you've done a really good job here, 5 stars. You know, I'm amazed that thanks very much. I'm like, shit, man, that is something that I've created out of thin air. It's come out of my head. You know, we've got a team of 6 staff. And it's like, it was just me, a laptop and a camera. And now we're a full-blown digital agency with global clients that are giving us like 5-star reviews. And it's like, that's what really gets me going. You know, that's the big thing for me.
Nice. And where can people get hold of you, Gary? Because there are so many gems in here and you've probably scared the shit out of them enough that they're thinking, okay,
I need that guy.
I can't do this by myself. Where do I get hold of you?
Yeah. So you are best to get hold of me on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn/Gumbleton. Gary Gumbleton. I know it sounds like I am a hobbit from Middle Earth. But there's very few of us. There's not many Gary Goblins, so definitely go check it out. I look like a classic hipster in the profile pic, so add me away 100%. And I'm happy to talk to anybody, right? What I hate is shit content. So if people are making shit content, I'll tell them. And I'm happy to give free advice on what they can do. I have one of these things, you know, please don't test me now. I have the ability to usually come up with a strategy or a few concepts on the fly to help achieve certain objectives. So if people just want to message me and say, hey, Gary, I need to do this, I'll come back straight away with an idea that they can run out the door with.
Perfect. Well, look, I'll put links to LinkedIn, company site, YouTube channel where people can go and have a look at some of the stuff that you guys have been doing, because you've got tons of videos out there. Podcast.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, we have this second brand called Capco Originals, which is all of our internal content. It's actually content that's about our staff, right? And that, like I keep banging on about, we've got like The Streets, which is our two social media managers go out on the streets interviewing people, like chicken shop dates kind of stuff. We have The Bait Club. We do our own podcasts, all videos. We do all my tips and tricks and talks are on there. So, and none of it sells. None of it is like a product video. Sell this, buy that. It's all about our staff, because there are 101 agencies in the area that can do the same as us, but they are not. The only thing they don't have is the people, right? That's the only thing they can't replicate. And we've got great people.
I mean, I can attest to that. Having been in and sat with you guys, it was, well, I mean, although I did have to make it up a flight of stairs, having just completed an session at the gym.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I opened the door to Gary's office. Gary stood at the top of the stairs. He's like, hey, man. And I'm like crawling up the stairs Monday morning, like, oh, man, how am I going to get up here? But look, Gary, it's been a real pleasure, mate. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. No, I'm hoped that I've helped at least just one person make a better video.
Cool, man. Thank you so much.
No worries, man. Have a great day.